Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Colossians, the first chapter. Colossians 1 in your Scofield Bible, page 1262. Beginning with the 14th verse, we'll read to verse 19. We'll read the verses responsively. Colossians 1, verses 14 through 19, page 1262. And please stand for the reading of this passage. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. The text verse is that 17th verse that we read together a moment ago. And let's pray. Our Lord God, it's a wonderful day because you've given us this another day, a day at the church, a day with dear ones here with whom we fellowship, a day when we learn more of thy word, the Sunday school departments, the classes, and here in this preaching service. How good you've been to give us this church, having stood now for these 100 years in defense of thy gospel. And we pray for thy help now as we hear the word preached once again. Make it plain and powerful. Please, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
In Colossians, we read a while ago, by him all things consist. Because of the Lord's Supper Day, we're late, later than usual, about 10 minutes later than usual, which means you'll have to listen carefully because I will have to speak more quickly than usual. I want to begin the year by bringing you a very simple, and because it is simple, profound, truth. By him, all things consist. I want to speak this morning on the subject, perpetual simplicity. This is especially, are you listening? Everybody looking right this way now. I want to speak to you on perpetual simplicity. Are you at your wit's end this morning? You got more things on your mind than you can possibly think about? You got more things to do than you can get done? Has life become complicated? Young lady said to me this week, young married lady, she said, life is so complicated now. She said, I wish we could just go back to when it was simple. Well, you can't go back to when it was simple. But I guarantee you, you can make the one you have now simple. And I want to show you this morning how to translate your perplexed schedule and your many, many faceted life back or into simplicity. Our Heavenly Father, for the next few minutes, I promise you I'll do my best to help my people. But I must have their attention if I do. May I do so. I pray you'd help me to help my people. Amen. Our lady said to me, when I was out soul winning one day, she said, life has become so complicated. She said, I got 1,000 things to do. And she said, I'm going in 1,000 directions. And I asked her, why don't you make life simpler? And she looked at me, put her hands like that, and she said, come with me. She took me to room number one, where exhibit number one was. Exhibit number one was 3 years old. I opened the door. What do you call it? Graffiti? All over the walls. Looked like the Korean War just ended in the room of exhibit number one. She took me to exhibit number two. Two children were uniting to make exhibit number two. The city dump was cleaner and nicer. She proceeded to take me throughout the house on a guided tour. The only room that was even tolerable was the living room. She showed me Crayola marks on the walls. She showed me burned places on the carpet. And then she pointed there. And she was about 13 months pregnant. She said, six of them scattered all over this house. And one on the way. She said, Mister, when every woman says Mister to me, I get ready to run. She said, Mister. She knew I wasn't a mister. She knew I was a preacher. Well, a preacher's also a mister. That didn't sound very good. But she said, Mister. She said, I've got a husband who expects a meal in 2 hours. She said, I got a baby that expects to be breastfed in just a little while. She said, I've got a house I'm supposed to keep. She said, I, not only that, I'm a taxi driver for everybody in this family. She said, I've got to wash dishes. She said, I've got to change diapers. I've got to clean, bathe children. And you said to me, or asked me, why don't you make your life simpler? She said, you make it simpler for me, if you think you can. And I said, I think I can. Now, the truth is, the rose will never fold itself into a bud again and know its former simplicity. The world is not going to tear down its cities and go back to bear skins and wigwams. The early simplicity is all over. Childhood cannot return. We cannot narrow obligations down to one or two again. I was watching one of our grandchildren, just little tight. We're opening presents Christmas morning. And her name is Amy. All she's doing was rocking. That's all. I mean, all she had to do to be fed was cry. Didn't have to move, didn't have to work, just cry. And if she wanted to go to the bathroom, she didn't even worry about going to the bathroom. I mean, a bathroom is wherever she happens to be. And I got to thinking about all the multitudinous things, and I thought, man alive, what a deal she's got. And I got thinking, I used to be the same way. Why didn't they leave me alone? Life seemed so simple. Watch another one of the grandkids. Opened a box. Beautiful present somebody gave him. Fooey on the present. Played with a stupid box. Next year I'm just getting boxes for all the grandkids. But life is so simple. Then. But how can life be simple to the mother of six expecting another? I say it can. No, you cannot do what the fellow suggested. I recall when Dave was born. And I was hospital looking in at the window at him. And there was a man outside the window, had a bitter look on his face, looking at all those little babies in there. And to me, watching babies in the hospital, nothing but an ugly contest. Unless they belong to us, of course. But, and the man, everybody was going like that, holding the sign up like that, you know, let me see mine. And this man looked at all those babies and he said, if you little rascals knew what I know, you'd want to go back where you came from. And I guess that all of us at times have wanted to go back where we came from. How can life so perplexed and so complex be made simple again? Let me tell you how my complicated life became simple. Now, let me say this. Now, you listen to me, and I can help you. My life could be more complicated than anybody's life in this room. I've got to keep hundreds and hundreds of college students. I've got to oversee the fact they get fed. I've got to see to it that over 500 people get some kind of a regular check. People are employed full-time or part-time in our ministries here. You don't know. There's no way for you to know the complexity of my job. A high school. A junior high school. A grade school. Over 145 counseling sessions a week I've averaged in the last several years. Get something fresh and new for every Sunday morning and every Sunday night and every Wednesday night. College chapel, high school chapel on Wednesdays. 5 messages to prepare. You try getting one a week to the same people for 27 years. Books. I've written 35, 36, 37. I don't know how many books. Traveling 200,000 miles a year on jet planes. Trying to keep a big ship like this afloat. Trying to keep enough folks happy with each other to keep going. Trying to keep enough folks happy with me so I can keep going and keep you going. You don't understand. Let me tell you how my complex life was made simple. I was drowned in various duties. Absolutely submerged in the sea of complication. And one day, God came to me, and God said to me, this is my work. And He said, I love you. And He said, you are representing me on earth. He showed me 1 John 4:17, as He is, so are we in this world. It was as if a big hand wrapped itself around all I did and made it all into one unit. All of the, I was going this way, this way, and this way, and this way, and this way. How will I get it all done? I've got so many things to do. But all of a sudden, the arms of His love wrapped themselves around all of my responsibilities. And no longer were there many responsibilities. There was one responsibility. And that one responsibility was to do what Jesus would do if He lived in my shoes. Now I had only one thing to do again. And that was to do His work. I don't have many things to do. I have one thing to do. And that's to do what He would do if He were here. I had a while ago. You thought I was cracking up again. I hold in my hand, right here, exactly what you see thrown on this platform. There's your life. And there's mine. Thousand different directions. A mess, confusion, complexity, until you get it bound with the love of Christ. This morning, on the first Sunday morning of 1987, You let the great purpose of your life wrap itself around all of the things of your life. And you'll not have, as this book, 46 different individual pages, but you'll have a book. If I ask you this morning to explain to me, if you walked in and this mess was already made here on the platform, and I said, what do you see? You'd said, a mess. If I hold this up, I say, what do you see? You say, a book. I ask you, what do you see on the steps here in the platform? You say, a lot of pages scattered. But you take those very pages that are on the platform, and you bind them together into one unit for one purpose. You have one unit instead of 46. Now, you see, the trouble with your life is, this is your life here. You've got this duty, and that duty, and this duty, and that duty, and this duty, and that duty. But God came to me one day, and He said, your job is to do what I would do. So everything that I do, I've wrapped it up, and the arms of God's love have reached around all of my duties. And now I only have one duty. That's to please Him. That's to serve Him. That's to love Him. You take two women. They do their chores at home. And to me, there's nothing quite as complicated as a woman's chores. But they do their chores at home. One woman's a nervous wreck. One woman's always fidgety. She's always at unrest. And she's got to iron. And while she's ironing, she's got to change a diaper. And while she's changing the diaper, the beans are boiling over. And when she goes to turn the stove down, the fire down under the beans, the dog bites one of the kids. And then all of a sudden, the house begins to leak. And then she's got to prepare supper for her husband. And then she's got to vacuum. And then she's got to put the washing in the dryer. And then she's got to separate the clothes. And then she's got to go clean up a mess after the baby. And all of these things, many things, and life is so complex. But here's another woman that does the same thing, but they're bound into one. And the one is, I love my husband. What are you doing? I'm a wife. What are you doing? Ironing, cooking, cleaning, vacuuming, washing, drying, separating clothes. What are you doing? Oh, I'm doing 1,000 things. I don't know what I'm doing. But one woman says, I've got a guy, and I love him, and I want to make him a happy home and be a good wife to him. And she wraps around all those duties, one big love, and she binds those duties together, and they're not scattered, and she's not going crazy. She's got one duty, and that's all. And that changed my life. It changed my life from a nervous preacher to a calm preacher. It changed my life from a frustrated preacher to a serene preacher. It changed my life. I'm standing here right now. I guarantee you my blood pressure is not one point higher than it was when I walked in the pulpit. Well, I'll guarantee you. And I'll guarantee you there's not a person in this room any calmer than I am right now. Somebody said, Brother House, you get scared preaching to all those people? I'm not preaching to you. I'm serving God. I got time to get you. I'm scared or not. I'm trying to help you. I stopped beside the road and saw a fellow that needed some help. I wouldn't say, am I going to be scared while I do this? I helped the fellow. Well, good night. You're in bad trouble. I got to help you. I'm trying to help you pull things together. I'm trying to help you get your life together. I'm trying to get you to live a calm, serene, happy, contented life. 87. And the way you do it is you take all those things that you're doing, and you bind those things into one thing. And then each of the many things that you used to do are all simply like a car. They're part of a piece of machinery. The car passes by out there. I said, hey, what's that passing by? You said, it's a carburetor, and that's I see a piston, and I see a tail, it starts a stovepipe, tailpipe, and I see four fenders, and what's passing by? Let me see. I see a roof, and I see four tires, and four wheels, and I see a crankshaft, and what do you see? I see a transmission, and I see a radiator. No, that's not what you see. You're making it complicated. I see a car. What do you see when you see my life? Oh, you say, I see a 10,000 responsibilities you got with us. No, I've wrapped them all up into one package, and by Him,
all things consist. That word consist means hold together. It means they get bound into one. Here's the same thing you see here. Now, you look, you can take all these papers scattered all over this morning, and you can make them look exactly like that. Or you can take this one, make it look like that. It's up to you. Two staff members. One staff member says, about both of them overworked. Not members of our staff here, of course. But two staff members on a church staff. Both of them overworked. One says, I've got too much to do. I don't see I can do anything else. I just don't see I've got more to do than I'll ever get done. I don't see I can ever get anything done. You ask the other one who's equally as busy, how about your schedule? I only have one thing to do. What is it? What the preacher wants. That's all I got to do. Just one thing. Now here's one all frustrated. Why? Because like this book, all these pages scattered across the platform. That's your life this morning. Hundreds of you see your life right here. But your life could be like that if you'd let Jesus wrap his arms around your life and make them into one. Get your life bound with the glue of his love. By him, all things consist. All things hold together by him. That's what he's saying. You know, I used to study the Bible. It was so complicated to me. Never could understand it. I'd read the Bible, and, oh, here's the Pentateuch over here, and here's the story of Israel over here, and here's the Revelation over here. And one day, somebody told me that the Bible was just a book about Jesus. That's all. And I found out that the Genesis was simply telling us that Jesus is going to come someday. And I found out that the Passover lamb simply was telling me that there's going to be the Lamb of God to come one day. And I found out that the scapegoat was simply telling me that Jesus someday would take my sins away. And I found out that the tabernacle was simply telling me that Jesus came and tabernacled among men for a while and ascended back to the heavenly place to be my intercessor at the right hand of the Father. I found out that the Psalms were simply songs I could sing about the coming of the Savior. I found that the Proverbs were simply composed into a book to tell me how the Savior lived and how I'm supposed to live. I found that the prophets of the Old Testament were simply pointing to a cross and to a manger and that someday was going to come. I found out that the four Gospels were simply to tell me the life of this Savior, and the Epistles were simply to tell me about how He lived that life so I could live the life that He lived. And I found that the Revelation was to tell me about His coming. And I let Jesus reach out and grab all the Bible and bind it into one great book, one great truth about Jesus. And the whole Bible came alive to me. It's not fragmented anymore. You know why? By Him all things consist. You don't have to be worried and nervous. I go to churches where pastors run 40 in Sunday school, about to crack up. I mean that, 40 in Sunday school. And they say, I've got to have an assistant pastor. Well, you get an assistant pastor, you'll get more problems with heaven than you will. But anyway, I'm saying, about to crack 40 in Sunday school, about to crack up. One fellow said to me, he said, I only get to play golf twice a week. I'm so nervous. I feel sorry for these preachers that have to take off Monday to play golf so they can get over the nervousness of having preached on Sunday about the peace of God. If you played golf like I do, you'd have to preach on Tuesday to get over your golf game on Monday. But I feel sorry for people like that. You say, preacher, how do you do all you do? I don't do but one thing. Well, what do? I try to please Him. That's what I'm here for. I didn't do but one thing yesterday, and that was try to do what I was supposed to do to please Him. As He is, so are we in this world. That's what I'm trying. And so I don't say, oh, I've got to do this, and oh, this is coming, and oh, I've got to do it. No, I say tomorrow, I've got to please Him. And everything I do is to please Him. Every decision I make is to please Him. What have I done? I've let the Lord love of God and the service of God and the Savior reach out and bind all the pages of my life that have gone 1,000 directions into one little concise book. By the way, you can too. I went to college. I was pastoring a full-time church. You might call it full-time. At least we had services 3 times a week. I was taking a full load in college. I was working 40 hours a week at J.C. Penney Company. I had 3 full-time jobs. Sleep did not come often and long for me. It still doesn't. It did not come often and long for me. But I had one thing that wrapped it all up into a package, and that is I was going to be a preacher. And I worked at J.C. Penney Company and got a little nervous and fretful and realized I had a fine examination the next day. I was going to have to stay up all night that night to study and get ready for the final, then go to college the next morning and get some sermons to preach at a little country church the next Sunday. Then I got everything became frayed. I simply saw myself out yonder in the future, standing like I'm standing right now in a great church somewhere behind a pulpit, preaching the gospel, and everything was wrapped up in one package. What are you doing? Working at J.C. Penney? No. What are you doing? Going to college? No. What are you doing? Preaching a country church? No. What are you doing? I'm preparing myself to be a preacher. That's one thing. That's all. And so that preparation wrapped itself around all the complexities of my life and simplified my life when I was in the Army. I went in the Army. What are you doing? Running bivouac? No. What are you doing? On maneuvers? No. What are you doing? On the rifle range? No. What are you doing? Pulling KP? No. What are you doing? Walking guard? No. What are you doing? I'm defending my country. I'm defending my country. I'm defending freedom. I'm an American. I'm defending the freedom of my country and my unborn children and their children. That's what I'm doing. Take all that complicated life you've got and all these things that are fragmented and driving you crazy. I don't know how I'm going to do what I got to do. Bind it. In a book. Make some order out of it. Are you a housewife? Just do one thing. Are you a student? Just do one thing. My job is to please him. And I guess one of the happiest days of my life, and certainly one of the most important days of my life, was when I quit being a counselor and I quit being a student and I quit being a church businessman and I quit being an administrator and I quit being a soul winner and I quit being a sermon preparer and I quit being every other thing that you could imagine that are part of my responsibilities. And I got them all together.
In the same asylum, and these that make me want to shoot my husband, my wife, my kids, a deacon, part of the choir.
And I just said, not going to do all these things anymore. Not going to do them. I'm going to do one thing. And that's what Jesus wants me to do. And I'm just going to be, if I can, as near as I can, what he would be if you were pastor of First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. My life is so simple. You say, you make it sound so simple. You come home and take care of my six kids, says Mrs. Moffat. And the litter I have on the way. Two or three. Coming. At least it looks like that. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are. You don't have more on your mind than I do. I don't care who you are. And I'm talking about the President of the United States. You don't have more things you've got to oversee and take care of. Look, if he gets broke, he can just raise your taxes. I can't raise your tithe. Boy, you better know what it'd be if I could. You better settle for the 10%. If I ever write a new book, one of these new Bibles, that's the words I'm going to change. I'm going to change that tenth to fifth. one day, Jesus came and said, "You frustrated? You better know I'm frustrated. This is too big for me." I'll never forget that day. New Year's Eve, 1954. When I said, "Dear God, I'm not a big preacher. I'm just a country preacher, and I don't know how to do this. I've got a church here bigger than I am. So I'm going to resign tomorrow morning. And I'm going to tell my people I love them. I'd rather die than resign, but I can't handle it anymore. I don't know how to keep it all going. I can't keep it all afloat." I wrote out my resignation that night, put it on my desk, on my floor in front of me, got on my face. And sometime in the wee hours of that morning before January the 1st, 1955, the Holy Spirit came to me and said, "I've got something for you." I didn't understand it all immediately. I understand it now. He simply took his big arms of love and wrapped his big arms of love around all that I was doing and bound it into one. "What are you doing, fella?" "I'm cutting wood, driving nails in. I'm sawing." "What are you doing, fella? You doing the same thing he's doing?" "No, I'm building a house." "How many things you got to do?" "Oh, probably 25 or 30. I got to saw. I got to get the sawhorse here. I got to saw just right. I got to put the grooves just right. I got to get the nail in just right. And I got to saw some more wood and carry some more. What are you doing, fella? How many things you doing?" "I'm doing one. I'm building a house. I'm building a house." If you could just stop and find out what your life is all about and let God bind it up for the binding of something that's cohesive, for in Him all things consist. You won't have to have a nervous breakdown this year. Not even you ladies. You can call it off. You can postpone it. I haven't told this story in years. I used to tell it a lot, but it's been, I guess, 5 years. The lady came to my office, remember our church. She's in heaven now, one of the finest ladies we had. If I called her name, hundreds of you folks would know her. Prematurely gray, beautiful lady for her. And she's up in years. But she came one day to me and she was trembling like that. And she said, "I'm about to have a nervous breakdown." And I said, "I can help you. I can cure it." She said, "What do you think you can do to help my nervous breakdown?" I said, "Go home, bake some cookies." She said, "What in the world does baking cookies have to do with my nervous breakdown?" I said, "Take them to a blind couple. Drink some tea with them or some coffee and tell them you love them and spend an hour with them. The next day, go home, bake a cake, take it to a deaf person. Or take it to me. Take it to a deaf person. And sit there and tell that deaf person you appreciate them and you sympathize, have compassion with them." And I said, "Every day you do that." She didn't come back to see me. She didn't. Several months passed. One day I was walking down a hallway from my office toward the outside, and she was walking that way past those pay telephones there toward the office hallway, and we bumped smack dab into each other. I'll never forget it because she hadn't spoken to me in 3 months. She had avoided me. She didn't want to see me. And then we bumped just like that. I'll never forget it. I said, "We've got to quit seeing each other, meeting each other like this." And she turned to walk away. I said, "Here, come here to me. Come here to me. Why are you trying to avoid me?" And this older lady, a very beautiful, talented older lady, said, "I haven't been really." And I said, "Hey, how about that nervous breakdown?" And a big grin came across her face. And she said, "I got so busy, I had to call it off." And you can call yours off too. If you'll take all these things you're doing and wrap them in one package and bind them in the love of God. Just do one thing. You can make life simple all again. Our Father, enough truth has been spoken in the last 30 minutes to transform 1987. If we let it be more than coming to church on Sunday, but let it be learning a truth. Let it be more than saying, "He doesn't understand my problems." I know I don't. They don't understand mine either. But I know one thing. Jesus can put it all together and bind it into one book. For by Him all things consist. Settle our people this morning. Calm us. Help us to transfer nervousness for serenity. Help us to transfer complexity for simplicity. As we decide to do one thing, be a mother, be a wife, be a builder. Do what Jesus would do. Our heads are bowed.